rough go last night.
We were just talking about that. Duke mentioned there was a fan that he was talking to. It says he's a big Jazz fan, and Duke, maybe have you say it.
Well, he pretty much summed it up really well for Jazz fans. He said, the Jazz season is over, and so is my pain. I am now free. So, yeah.
It's been that kind of season. Weird, right? I mean, this team was so talented and had so much expectations, but the season is so disappointing, and I think you're looking back on it, just kind of an overall view, is just there was no joy this season, which is depressing. This should have been so much fun, and it wasn't. So, moving forward, I don't know where this team's at, but, man, that's just my takeaway overall, is just a joyless season, which is disappointing.
You know, Jeremiah, is there any easy answer to point to? I know one thing people have kind of thrown out there is, hey, Joe Ingles, he was a glue guy. They weren't quite the same chemistry as after they were after he left. Is there any validity to that, or is this a more complex answer?
Oh, it's much more complex than that. That's the thing is, sometimes you can point to one thing. Oh, this player didn't perform up to their standard, or they lost these guys, or there were injuries, or there was this and that. No, this team just, for whatever reason, just could not connect. They just weren't together. And you point out Joe Ingles. Yeah, I'm sure they missed Joe, but even Joe was part of that early on. If you guys remember, Joe was having the worst season he's had since he's been here. And there was a lot of frustration, I think, that Joe had with his contract situation. And obviously, you saw why, because you saw how it played out. He got traded at the trade deadline to save the team money. So, I mean, that was just part of the puzzle. And it's a puzzle. It's one of those things you have to put one piece together at a time to try to figure out what really happened. And I think it's very complex, and there's a lot of layers to it. But ultimately, it's a results-based business, and whatever the problem was, they didn't get it done, and now there's going to be changes.
Well, let's talk about this series specifically with the Mavericks. In this first round, I mean, you get the first few games without Luka and on the Mavs, and you think, man, the Jazz have just been gifted this enormous thing with, and then they can't. What was your takeaway from this series? Because even from the very get go, it felt like a perfect microcosm of how the season went.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity for them. With Luka out, it was a favorable matchup. And they showed that in the first game where they went down to Dallas and got the win. But unfortunately, the recipe of beating the Jazz is so simple that the Mavericks, all they had to do was adjust their game plan to doing that. And even without Luka Doncic, they found a way to beat the Jazz. To be honest, guys, this series should have been over in five. You remember game four took a miracle play at the end for the Jazz to get that win. So... That's how disappointing this was. The truth is, the Mavericks found a way, the recipe that the Clippers found last year, it's to pull Rudy out. They go five out, they get Rudy away from the rim, and they start moving the ball, and the Jazz just cannot, for whatever reason, rotate. They're a step slow, or they don't rotate at all, and they don't communicate well on the defensive end. And those corner threes are wide open, and they were the whole series. And you had guys with the Mavericks who, I mean, like Maxi Kleba, who wasn't necessarily a great three-point shooter during the season, just couldn't miss in the postseason, and guys like Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith were just lighting the Jazz up when, you know, if you had really solid on-ball defense, perimeter defense, that wouldn't happen. The Jalen Brunson explosion, he averaged 27 points a game in the series. Jalen Brunson is a great player, but he's not an all-star. That shouldn't have happened. So if you want to point to one thing specifically, it's how poorly this team was at defending the ball and defending the perimeter. It's the same story that happened last year with the Clippers. The Jazz didn't fix it in the offseason. They didn't fix it during the season, and then they didn't fix it during the playoffs, and that was their demise.
You know, Jeremiah, you kind of said this before. It's a results-based business, which is what it is. You've got Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell have come out and said that they like Quinn Snyder. But right now, it seems like a lot of fingers pointing at Coach Snyder. Would you say that's fair to characterize it that way?
Yeah, suddenly there's this criticism of Coach Snyder that hasn't maybe always been there, because you're at the point, well, you've got such a star-driven team, and I'd include Mike Conley in that, who was an all-star, and so why didn't this work? And, you know, you look at the great coaches of the game. You look at Phil Jackson, who had to manage so many egos and did it so well, which is really, in today's NBA, that's really the sign of a great coach, is it's not at all about X's and O's and how smart you are. It's how well can you make this group work? How can you get them to dedicate their whole 100% effort into doing what's best for the team and not for themselves? And Quinn wasn't able to do that, to be honest, and it was disappointing. Is he to blame for all this? I don't know. You're always looking for a scapegoat, and coaches are easy to point to. Charles Barkley lit up Quinn on TNT last night after the game, and I hate to say it, but he made some points. I mean, Quinn was very stubborn in some of his rotations, et cetera, but ultimately they didn't get it done. So, yeah, you're looking at Quinn as maybe you haven't before. Is this the coach you want moving forward? And that's pretty tough to say because he's been so great the past 8 years. And I think Quinn might be doing the same thing. Do I want to keep doing this? Is this working for me? Am I the best voice for this team? Maybe this team needs another voice, and maybe I need a new senior. So that's a dynamic we haven't really had to deal with the Jazz before, is whether Quinn stays or goes, which is strange, right? So I wouldn't point all the blame on Quinn, but he's certainly responsible for some of this not working, and it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in the next week or two.
Let's talk about heading into the offseason now, Jeremiah, as you look at the Jazz, and of course there's so many different ways that this could go, but when you look at the most likely scenarios, what changes do you think, maybe personnel-wise or whatnot, for Utah before next season?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say, they got to blow this up. This is terrible. And look, that's an emotional response. You're not going to just blow this up. You got too much talent on this team to just blow up and start over and start, you know, tanking for the lottery. That's not where they're at. But what I think they need is a reset. And that could be a number of different things. Maybe it's a new head coach. Maybe you trade one of your two big superstars. Maybe you decide, okay, Rudy and Donovan can't coexist in the way we need them to. Maybe we need to decide which player we're going to build around and build a team around them and their strengths. Maybe you just do a little bit of tweaking. Maybe you just move a couple of guys. Maybe you find a way to move Mike Conley's contract. Maybe you say, as great as Boyan has been, maybe we need a guy on the wing that's maybe doesn't shoot as well, but maybe is more athletic and can defend on the perimeter better. You've got to get here. I'll tell you what they've got to do. I don't think they need to. I think maybe you look at getting whatever value you can out of anybody at this point, right? You have to be in that position where you're willing to look at everything. But they've got to get longer, more athletic, and have to be better defending on the perimeter. That's something that they cannot. They were not able to achieve, and that's no matter whatever decision they make between Rudy, Donovan, Quinn, whatever. They have to do that in the offseason, something they did not do last offseason that they said they were going to do. So that's got to be the number one priority, is they have to get longer and more athletic on the wings, and they have to have an identity. They had an identity in previous Quinn Snyder teams. It was about defense and shooting the three. This year they had no identity, and that was part of their problem. So, who knows what opportunities will be available there. Danny Ainge is now on board, which is a new dynamic. We'll see what he wants to do in the offseason to build this roster and find something that works. That could be a lot of things. It could be a little tweak. I don't know, but we'll find out. But there's no question changes need to be made, and we'll see what opportunities present themselves in the offseason to do that.
Is there a you talk about possibly moving on from one of the big max guys you have, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. I read a couple of things kind of leading into the end of the season about potential trades for Rudy. Is there one that jumps out to you that's like, oh, okay, that makes more sense than another, or is that answer not really out there obviously either?
Yeah, I'll say this. Like, if you're going to make a decision between which player they were going to trade with Donovan or Rudy, if it comes to that point where you realize you've got to do one or the other, I think they would trade Rudy. Which might surprise a lot of people right now, because I think a lot of more people are frustrated with Donovan's play, to be honest. But the truth is Donovan has the higher ceiling and is the more marketable player, and it's a guard-driven league, guys. And, Rudy's not out there making, scoring 30 points a game. You've got to have one of those guys. If you want to compete and you want to win an NBA championship, you've got to have a top 5, top 10 player. We just saw what Luka did in the last few games, right, guys? You got to have that guy, and Rudy can't ever be that guy. Donovan can be possibly. So they're going to be all in on Donovan if they have to make that decision. And, you know, like, I hope that they can find a way for them both to work together and then build a team around that can do that. But you guys, you got to be honest, they don't have any draft picks. They don't have a draft pick this year. What assets do they have to go out and make these changes other than moving a couple contracts? Where all the assets are is in that $35 million that they're paying Rudy Gobert. And they might have to trade Rudy to make that happen, to get some of those assets and some of those players. They need to fill those gaps. And if they do, there's going to be a lot of teams out there that are interested. I know one team in particular that's interested is the team that they just lost to, is the Dallas Mavericks. So it's very clear, been made very clear, that the Dallas Mavericks would love to pair Rudy Gobert with Luka Doncic. I'll throw out two other teams. The Toronto Raptors are a team that could be interested. Rudy would fit really well with them. And the Atlanta Hawks are another one. Trae Young is a great lob point guard. Can you imagine Trae Young and Rudy Gobert playing on the same team? So those are just three teams I'll throw out there that would be a good fit for Rudy. Whether those teams have assets that the Jazz want, that's a different conversation. But to answer your question, that's kind of where things are at with Rudy. I would hate to see him go. He's been such a great player here. But the Jazz are obviously in a position where they gotta consider everything in order to get better and get over the top.
Jeremiah Jensen, KSL, joining us today on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. JJ, as always, appreciate your time. We do have to just give you a chance to speak on the NFL draft with Utah getting another first rounder yesterday and Devin Lloyd. And Utes had a young defense last year, but Devin was, of course, one of the anchors, as one of the veterans. And Utes get another one in the first round last night.
Yeah, Devin's special. If any of you followed last season and the difficult things that team went through, losing two teammates, two senseless losses, those young kids had to cope and deal with such a tragedy. Somebody on that field in that locker room had to be their leader and their glue, and that was Devin Lloyd. And you saw what he did as a leader for that team, and he took that team where they had never been before, which is a Pac-12 championship. He's such a tremendous player. He's got very high character, just a huge ceiling. He has a chance to be a star in Jacksonville. I'm thrilled for him. I mean, I'm going to be honest, guys. I don't like the team. That Jacksonville organization is just iffy. I would like to have seen him, get drafted by the Packers or the Ravens or the Patriots, better organizations. But maybe they turn the page and maybe he can help them do that. He's a terrific leader, and I'm happy for him, and it's great for if you're a Utah fan or just a football fan, just to see somebody like that be rewarded for just incredible play on and incredible character on and off the field. He's that guy. So happy for Devin, and it didn't come as early as everybody wanted, but he found a good spot for him where he's wanted. He'll do well in the NFL.
Jeremiah Jensen on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. JJ, appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
You got it, guys.
It's all part of First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday on the SVI Radio Network.